After years of fighting, Philadelphia recently won a legal battle with one of its most infamous slumlords, and it cost the city millions.
The city effectively had to walk away from more than $9 million, and then so far they've spent nearly $1 million more trying to get these properties back through the courts, and you know, the tab is still running.
And this story is really notable because Philadelphia has never taken the extreme step of seizing property from an affordable housing developer.
This was very much beyond anything else that we deal with, and I really hope we don't ever have to do this again.
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell has been following the story. Aaron, who is Anna Figueroa?
Anna Figueroa used to live in this big brick apartment building in Lower Germantown called Hamel Mill. And she had lived in North Philly, was formerly addicted to drugs. And so living in this subsidized apartment building was a really good change for her.
Germantown, that's where I started getting where I needed to go.
And, you know, at first she really liked this apartment.
My apartment was nice.
It was, you know, just a one-bedroom apartment, no frills, one-bedroom apartment. But, you know, it was hers. It was in this new neighborhood that was disconnected from her troubled past. And she really dug in and got very involved in the community, which made her love where she lived even more.
You know, I'm an advocate for the community. I'm a block captain in Germantown. So I really moved my life a whole different area. Everything was fine until different people was coming to me talking about, is your heat working? Is this working? I was like, everything is fine in my apartment. And then the gas got cut off in our building. And they moved me to another building. It's right next door. And then that's when I started hearing more stuff.
What kind of stuff was she hearing about?
We got sort of a fuller picture of what was wrong at Hamel Mill in 2018 when the city moved in with the help of the Philadelphia Housing Authority to relocate residents to other PHA properties. So in the first phase in August, which is when Anna moved, people were relocated because Elle and I said, you know, we got to shut this building down.
It was not just about the gas. It was about properties that was empty and been abandoned. Stuff wasn't being fixed. It was mold in our building. Roofs was leaking.
There's no electricity and there's no working sort of life safety system. So things like sprinklers. And Hamel Mill was not an isolated situation. There were issues at other buildings owned by the same landlord, specifically that people would request things to get fixed and they just would never get fixed. Not small things, but sort of large building code violations.
And why were those properties in the shape that they were in?
So to understand that, you have to know a little bit more about this guy, Emmanuel Freeman, and this nonprofit that he ran, Germantown Settlement. Freeman didn't start Germantown Settlement. It had been around for more than a century, originally started by Quaker women. By the time Freeman comes into the picture, Settlement is still a social services organization in Germantown. It's offering, you know, services to truant children and foster children and the elderly and new moms and people facing foreclosure, all kinds of social service programs. What's notable about Freeman's tenure is that he expands quite a bit the nonprofit's property holdings, specifically affordable housing. So you have hundreds of units that are built under his tenure. You have multifamily units and units for seniors, and there's a charter school, and there's retail. So it's a whole big portfolio. And a lot of that stuff gets built with the help of public dollars, specifically federal loans that come through the city. I mean, he also uses quite a bit of low-income housing tax credits directly from the feds, but also gets money that's routed from the feds through the city. And under Freeman, Settlement becomes the largest employer and the largest developer in Germantown. And at some point, Settlement starts to crumble. It's unclear completely why, but both the programming, all the social service programming, and the properties take a hit as a result.
So how do these loans work? Are they like loans that you and I would take out?
These loans effectively give the city a mortgage on these properties.
It's not like the kind of mortgage that you would have on a home that you own where you're actually paying principal and interest.
And I talked to Greg Heller, who's the head of the Philadelphia Redevelopment Authority, to kind of walk me through this a little bit.
So it accrues interest, but it's all deferred until the maturity date on the loan, you know, which could be 30, 40 years off.
And that's because these are loans specifically for low-income housing.
Correct. The idea is let's not burden these folks who are trying to do good, essentially, by building affordable units.
But at the same time, we want that loan and mortgage to be sitting on the property to incentivize those developers to continue to keep the projects affordable. So if you get to the end of your required affordability periods, you still have to pay back our loan, principal plus deferred interest.
And, you know, at some point it becomes clear that Freeman has not paid back any of these loans. And we're not talking about pocket change here. We're talking about millions of dollars. You know, I tried to talk to Emmanuel Freeman. I've tried several times to talk to Emmanuel Freeman, even went to his home in the Philly suburbs to try and see if he would answer the door.
He didn't answer the door.
So we don't really have a clear answer. What we do know is that some of these loans matured, and at that point, he owed millions of dollars, not just the principal, not just the interest, but also penalties.
So did the city know about the state of the properties and the money that Freeman owed?
So the city certainly knew about the money that was owed. As far as the state of these properties, it seems like they didn't have a complete understanding of just how bad things were. And the reason I say that is because at one point, Emmanuel Freeman comes to the city
and said that they wanted to reinvest in the properties or potentially sell them and wanted us to consider forgiving the interest and penalties on our loans.
I'll pay the principal, and that way I can, you know, reinvest some money into these properties and improve them.
Mm-hmm.
And the city was considering that. Until a couple of neighbors came down and said, you might want to take a closer look at these properties. They're in really bad shape. So the city did. They went and checked out the properties. And
we realized that the properties were in really bad shape.
The residents were right. These properties were abandoned, blighted, dilapidated, and that they were in such a sorry state that they really needed to step in.
It's something we've never done before on an affordable housing project, which was to put our loans in default.
They had to effectively walk away from more than $9 million.
Mm.
And so they had to default on those loans and then...
to try and take the properties back.
They had to take an extreme step of taking him to court so that they could seize these properties from him.
When we return...
some of us want to come back. I want to come back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell about the Philadelphia Redevelopment Authority's unprecedented move to seize 45 properties from Emmanuel Freeman, who had allowed them to fall into disrepair. So the Philadelphia Redevelopment Authority had never gone to these lengths and seized properties. Why did they do it in this case?
It was effectively this perfect storm of elements.
This was very much beyond anything else that we deal with, and I really hope we don't ever have to do this again.
You had a lot of units. You had 45 units. There were still some tenants living in them. The conditions were terrible. And you had a landlord who really didn't seem like he was going to do anything about it. Here the city was with these mortgages on these properties, and so it was really up to them to do something or not.
This was a really extreme case, and I would say that negligent doesn't describe the condition of some of these properties. I would say that horrific was a more applicable term.
And how did residents react when they heard the city had done that?
I mean, residents were thrilled.
Oh my God, this is such a victory.
I talked to Yvonne Haskins about this. She doesn't live in Germantown, but she's been an activist there for years. And she was one of those neighbors that went down and made a stink about the potential deal with Freeman.
We have been so worried that because Freeman was making the grandiose promise of both paying the Redevelopment Authority $3 million and borrowing money to restore these properties, that, you know, they were drinking the Kool-Aid.
So what happens to these properties now?
That's a big question mark. Right now, the Philadelphia Housing Authority is managing some of these properties. They may continue to manage some of these properties later. Some of these properties may be put out to bid, you know, for private developers who are in the affordable housing game to bid on. But all of that is up in the air at this point.
Why don't we see this kind of thing happen more often with the city going and seizing a property that is really a problem?
So there are a few reasons why this is unusual. The first is that low-income housing projects require a lot of public money, which in turn triggers a fair amount of vetting. You can't just be a developer, any old developer off the street, and say, hey, I want to develop affordable housing. There's processes that you have to go through before that can happen. So there's a pretty high bar there. The other thing is that the city is not interested in defaulting on loans, especially when they're worth millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Here with this case with Freeman, we're talking about more than $9 million that the city had to effectively, as we said, walk away from so that it could then pursue these properties in court. That's not a small point
right. to the city. $9 million is not a small point.
It's not a small point. And then the last point I'll say is that this is just sort of a bizarre situation. I mean, most developers are not like Emmanuel Freeman. Freeman had a considerable amount of clout, both in City Hall with regards to city government, but also with, you know, politicians, specifically the city councilwoman that was there at the time. He was her guy, and she did all she could to help him out. And there were other folks like that who continually went to bat for him, even as it became clear that settlement was in real trouble.
Again, we don't know exactly what's going to happen to these properties. What does all of this mean for those neighbors in Germantown?
I think this is a real moment of hope for the neighborhood. It is still very much up in the air what will happen with these properties. But for the first time in a long time, there's a real chance that A, these properties will be brought up to livable conditions, and that B, the neighborhood has a chance of having affordable housing that it really needs. It needed it when they were built, and it still needs it today.
Some of us want to come back. I want to come back.
You know, when I asked this similar question, you know, what do you want to see happen from this? When I put that question to Anna Figueroa, she said, I would really hate for these properties to land in the hands of private developers who are just looking to make a buck.
We don't need nobody coming in our community or any other developers that want these properties. It's a money thing for them, but we need people that's in that community that needs housing, affordable housing, and that's what I'm fighting for.
Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome.
WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yakov. See you tomorrow.